Me to the 24th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. And as all portions of God are, but this especially, it's just as up to date, more up to date than the morning news or the latest news, wherever it comes from. Accurate news, that is. Matthew, the 24th chapter. And as Jesus sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Have the questions changed? The questions are still being asked today. Three things: what, when? When is the end of the world coming? Hollywood tries to put out material, doing the best they know how with what they have to work with. But even Hollywood knows the end is coming. The end of all things as we know it will come. Well, Jesus answered and said unto them, here in the 24th chapter of Matthew, verse 4, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." And there's persecution of the church that's going on in many different parts of the world while we're worshiping in this very comfortable atmosphere today. And it said, "Then they will deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended," who are in nice churches, padded pews, air-conditioned or heating buildings. "Many shall be offended, and a spirit of offense betray one another, and shall hate one another." Offense becomes betrayal. It becomes an attitude of hatred. "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." That's very significant. "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." We're in an endurance race this morning. And notice verse 14. This has been just rolling in my heart for days now. "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." I'd like to give a title to the time that we share God's word with you today on quickened or quit. Quickened or quit. And that's the purpose of a New Testament church, to keep the fire burning and to keep what God has started in your life to continue to be. You'll either be quickened, energized, re-energized by the Holy Spirit of God. Many of us just cut to the chase and call it revival. You'll either be quickened, or the spirit of quit will be on you, and you'll be like multiplied thousands throughout the Metroplex that don't attend anyone's church, don't believe in anything. Well, they believe there's a God up there, but they've been hurt, they've been wounded. They heard that they heard that someone heard that they heard. And they gave up everything that God has done for them. Just gave it up. And so they're home sucking their thumb, and some even drinking Bud and other things. But anyway, you'll either be quickened or a spirit of quit will come on you. There's just too much facing the world today. If you don't have some hope, you're frustrated. You're of all men most miserable. We've got to have some hope, and that's one of the beautiful things about the Christmas story that you don't get out of Santa Claus or Rudolph or Frosty the Snowman. And that is hope. The story of Jesus is a story of hope. The story of John Baptist is a story of hope. You'll either be troubled and confused or finishing strong and triumphant. Now let's notice some of the things that enter into this quickened or quit. You say, when is the end time coming? Well, whenever it's coming, we're one day closer than we were before. Tell us, when shall these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world? And then Jesus begins to teach us so powerfully and gave us a list of things to not be caught up in. There's more than just working on your job and driving home and pursuing your hobby or doing whatever. He said, don't be deceived. In fact, three times he warns against being deceived in the end time. Now, the problem about deception is I've dealt with multitudes of people that were deceived, but you got a problem there. They don't know they're deceived, so it's like talking to that wall over there. I've talked to people that were deceived in their marriage, people that were deceived in a relationship, people that were deceived in finances, in some get-rich scheme and tried to talk some sense into them, and they just look at you with that blank stare. The sad thing is, you can drive off a cliff. You can push certain things too far. But Jesus said, take heed, watch it. I mean, let this be a priority of your life. Whatever else you're doing, don't let anyone deceive you. They had a warning on the radio. Anyone that knocks on your door and they want to do certain repair work, if it seems too good to be true, it's probably too good to be true. And older people and retired people are being bilked out of thousands of dollars of savings by being promised luxury types of repairs and so on, and they get the money, but they never do the job. Well, that's been going on for a long time. But Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you. No man deceive you. Don't be deceived. To be deceived means to be led astray, to seduce, to make wrong, to sin against the inward witness. You know, when are we going to become sensitive to that inward witness when we're about to say something we shouldn't say, or about to go somewhere we shouldn't go, or about to join ourselves or sign something that we don't have any business being a part of? There's something called the inward witness. That's God inside of you warning you, slow down. And if you don't have a green light, at least slow down. At least slow down until you get a green light to go ahead. Amen. Life is a faith choice. Every day is a series. Every day is a series of faith choices. And I'm staying there a moment, not getting much shouting on that, but he said, don't be deceived. So many ways you can be deceived. And I tell our singles, you know, it's better. There's a lot of things you can do to work off loneliness. You can go shopping. You can spend money. You can see a good movie, or you can take a cruise or do something. But when you're married to ugly, you wake up with him every morning. Him or her. They're there. You can't shake them loose. It's going to cost you money to get away from them. Don't be just, and yet to find the right person, and we've had people in the church that have waited. Thank you. We've had people in the church that have waited until they had God's choice. I heard a man on TV the other night. I was in shock for about 15 minutes till I finally figured out he's going to come out on the right side, talking about the immorality that's in so many churches and in so much leadership of ministries and so on, which doesn't make it right. And, you know, nowadays we call, I'm living with my friend, we used to call it shacking up. Okay, he did a good job. But the end result of it was, he said he and his wife agreed, I do you, you do me, we don't do anybody else. And that's kept their marriage together. All right, going down, don't be deceived. Deceived by others. Maybe friends, maybe relatives, maybe ministers. Don't be self-deceived. You can fool yourself. You can want something so bad you can fool yourself. Don't be deceived by fatigue. We've all made mistakes when we were tired. We're physically tired. When you're under a lot of pressure and you're fatigued, don't make any major decisions. It's too easy to be deceived. Wait until you rest up a while and get the mind of God. Don't be deceived by fatigue or in a time of pressure or because of finances to just do anything. Psalms 51:6 said, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. I'll tell you, in the inward parts is where God speaks to our heart. All right, don't be deceived. I'm going to tell you, take it any way you want to take it. You will see that this pastor was right. Some of you remember a few years ago when I had a table over here and had a stack of paper on top of it, and I warned you of what was to come. That snake's biting me now. They told me how wonderful the health care was going to be, how wonderful this is going to be. It's a pile of nothing. I mean, it's a help. It's a help. But folks, we're signing off. We're writing off. Our nation is being deceived. And we just sit there, huh? Duh? By the time we wake up, pray for this nation. Uganda needs us. Asia needs us. Some of the other part, many, the world needs us. We need to be wise. Oh God, we need to be wise. Don't be deceived. And here's another one. I can't stay there. See to it. Don't be troubled. Don't be troubled. Say, what is troubled? Well, it's a state of fear, really. John 14 said, let not your heart be troubled. That means I have a heart. It can be either blessed or happy or glad, or as Brother Gentry said, I can choose to be glad or I can choose to be sad. But he said, let not. There's a little switch inside of me that says let or let not. Just like a light switch, off and on. And when you get that doom and gloom spirit coming on you, you can't get there from here. There's no help. There's no hope. Turn it off. Stop it. Turn it off. When Satan comes, and you know he always works on your besetting sin before you got things right with God. He'll work on other areas, but he'll always try to come on an area where you had a weakness back when. And you know, one way to handle that is just to rebuke him in the name of Jesus and say, that doesn't live here anymore. That is not my thought. That is not my feeling. And just a purpose in your heart. I'm going to live one day at a time, choosing to do right and choosing to follow Jesus. One day at a time. Don't say the rest of my lifetime, the rest of the month, the rest of the year. That's good to have that purpose in your heart. But just purpose. Every day, I'm going to wake up and say, I'm going to do it God's way. I'm going God's direction. I'm going to tell the truth when it doesn't seem to make any difference at all. I'm going to do what's right when no one's watching me. I'm going to do it. Let not your heart be troubled. And the Bible said in the Thessalonians, be not soon shaken in your mind. Be not soon shaken, easily shaken. We in the ministry deal with a lot of people that are shaken. There's a lot of people shook up. And for good reasons, it seems. There was a man who built his house on a rock, and the storms could not shake it. But there were those who built on sinking sand, and it didn't take much of a storm to destroy them. I marvel when I look at the destruction up in wherever it was, the last big one we had. Duh, if you built on ground floor with the ocean, duh, if anything ever changes, duh, there's a reason why million-dollar homes were floating down the street. You build on sinking sand. This is strictly practical. I'd never buy anything that was threatened by water. Never, never. Our first little house was on Laverta Drive out in Haltom City. Had a payment of $87.50. That was everything. Insurance and principal and interest. Yeah. And even at that, because those were hard days of ministry, I almost lost it a couple of times. We just thank God for a good Baptist mortgage agent that said, I'll give you one more day. But you know what? Little Fossil Creek used to flow behind our house. And when Little Fossil Creek, before the dam was built somewhere, wherever it was built, used to flood the bottom of the street. It would get up into the houses on the same street. Thank God it never got into our house. How many days have I sat in a chair rebuking that thing all night long, watching that water come about halfway up in my yard, but thank God it never got to the house. But the bottom of the block, there were about three or four houses. It ruined their floors every time it'd come through. And I said, my lightning fast, there's two things I'll never do again. I'll never buy anything with a bad foundation. Well, you can fix it. Okay, I can talk to you after we get through. I got to get back to the anointing here. And I don't want to buy anything that can get wet, too wet. That's a strange feeling. It's hard to go to sleep when you think the water may be coming into your bedroom. So you build a $1 million house on ground level with ocean. Excuse me, I'm smarter than that. All right, let's move right on here. Not real smart, but I'm sharper than that. All right. What does that have to do with this service? I don't know. If it helped one person, it's worth it. All right. Don't just sign anywhere. Check out your real estate. Know what's there. Praise God. All right, let's move on. But the third thing that I saw here, he talked about there will be wars and rumors of, here in verse 6, wars and rumors of wars. Are there wars and rumors of wars? One writer said at the time, I don't know, I read it somewhere in the past, at one time he counted 30 wars that were going on in the world at that time. A lot of them were small wars, but I mean, if it's wiping out your village, that's a war. 30 wars. Don't become weary of war crisis. Don't become weary of... See, living in Fort Worth, I was born in Harris Hospital. I've lived in Fort Worth, my family, all my life. And Carswell Base being out here, we expected the big bomb to come at any time. I mean, there was a lot of explosives out at Carswell at one time. And that is a strange feeling back during some of those early days to realize that your city could, by one bomb, be gone. And if you'd let that work on you, you could really be frustrated. But don't become weary of wars. In fact, the Bible said in Galatians 6:9, don't be weary in well-doing. You can be doing the right thing and be weary. I've been there countless times. It just seems like one battle after another. It just seems like one war. It's going to be that way until the Prince of Peace comes. It's going to be that way. It's going to be that way. Political wars, church wars, all kinds of wars. But we win if we don't quit. I said, we win if we don't quit. Hallelujah. We win if we don't quit. Don't become weary of wars. Another one here that's very, I don't have time to get into everything that's in this 24th chapter, but refuse to be offended. Refuse to be offended. Really, offended is like a green twig or a limb across your pathway that trips you, that you fall into the pit. You didn't see it. And so the animal comes by, he doesn't see it, and the animal drops into the pit, and then the animal is easy prey, or you can kill it or whatever. You know, a spirit of offense, the greatest revival that could come to the Metroplex is people that got offended and don't go to anyone's church. They're mad at the world. offended. And the easiest place to get offended in the world, I'm sorry to tell you, is not the world, but the church. They didn't let me have my seat. Somebody frowned at me. That usher didn't shake my hand. They're just all kind of nonsensical reasons. You know, if I was a layperson, I'd find where God wanted me to go. And if I didn't talk to anybody in that church, if nobody made me feel welcome, if nobody smiled, no one gave me a handshake, I'd march myself down, get me a seat, and I'd listen to the praise and worship, and I'd hear the word of God, and I'd leave those unfriendly people and go home with my treasures. Why do we go to church anyway? Why do we go to church? We go to church to meet God. We try to make it as user-friendly in that sense of the word as we can. We all try to be friendly and show God's love. But this is not a popularity contest. It's not a personality contest. It's a house of God where we meet God, where you go and you're encouraged. I couldn't tell you. We've had some of the... This church of all churches should not be ignorant on any given subject. I've sat on that front row and countless times someone that we asked to minister, I mean a message, Brother Gary, last Sunday night, you just ignited a new fire in me. Here you are, one of our sons in the ministry, yet what you guys are doing over there, I believe I got it in a new way last Sunday night. How many times do I sit there and be fed by, I don't just have to preach myself to get fed. Listen, learn, grow. Take notes. Be smarter than you were before. Refuse to be offended. There's always somebody around, sent of the devil, to offend you. There's always something. Don't be offended. It means to scandalize. It's a stumbling block. It's a trap. You're spiritually paralyzed the moment you receive a spirit of offense. I could write a book. Could write a book on people that said, well, I'd be in your church, but I got offended about something. Oh, sometimes it's me. Sometimes it's you. Sometimes it's they don't even know what. I don't know. Now, I'm not being foolish with this, but folks, God wants us to enjoy the journey. God wants us to come and be blessed. God wants us to come and praise and worship. We're not coming to critique one another. We're coming to worship God. We're coming to be blessed. We're not just having praise and worship to take up time, or the preaching just to take up time. Refuse to be offended. And here's what the Bible said. You can't get a better authority than Jesus. When I get offended, here it is. When I get offended, the Bible said, then I betray. We betray one another, and then we start hating one another. That's the unfortunate thing about being a 48-year pastor and 58 years in the ministry. I've met people who just hate fellow believers. Man, life's too short for that. I'll get on to the shouting part here in a minute, but you need to deal with things like this. Amen. Many shall be offended. Many, not a few, but many, and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. My. And then here's that word deceive again. Three times at least it's used. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Deceive many. Thank you. Here's another one. Refuse hardness of heart. Praise God. Because sin shall abound. You see it on television. You see it in the videos. Excuse me. But I mean, we weep over the killing of children, yet 50 million have been aborted in the womb. Wake up, America. All of our top leaders are armed to the hilt with security all around them, but they don't want us to have guns. Wake up, America. The land of the free and the home of the brave. But refuse hardness of heart. When God's love is low in us, we develop hardness of heart. Things trip us that don't normally trip us. Things tick us off that don't normally tick us off. We get upset about things that you know, just like you're having a bad day. Refuse it. There's sin everywhere you look. When I was growing up as a kid, sin's always been there, but you had to look for it. Some of it came free, but I mean, most of it you had to go look for. Today, you can't buy gas, you can't buy groceries, you can't do anything without sin right in your face. But refuse hardness of heart. Refuse hardness of heart. Are we tender toward the things of God? Do we weep when we see others hurt and when we see others sin and fall? When I was growing up, what our pastor said, because we had five that weren't strong, but we had one that was strong, we finally got a man of God. When the man of God asked us to do something, we did it. True man of God should be able to say, we're having a prayer meeting here Tuesday night, and a good crowd show up, not for pizza, not for coffee, not for fellowship, but come to just bow before the living God. Churches have got to get back to prayer. We've got to get back to prayer. Hardness of heart. I mean, if Jesus Christ himself were speaking in this pulpit next Sunday, and I'd tell some people, can you guarantee it? Oh yeah, Jesus will be there next Sunday. He's making the only earth appearance that he's made just like this in a local church. They'd say, could you please send me the CD or the DVD? We got to go to a family reunion. You can laugh if you want to, but I'll guarantee you that scenario would be very accurate. What does it take to touch our hearts? Nothing softens our heart like going through the valley. You go up to the hospital when a baby's about to die, or a dad's about to die, or granddad's about to die. People's hearts are tender. They're tender. They're tender. People's hearts are tender at memorial services. They should be tender at weddings. They should be. Oh, God, give us tenderness of heart. To see this many people come forward on a Sunday morning, we were down just a few because we need to encourage everybody to, let's get back and witness, win, and bring them in next Sunday. But we've been averaging around 50 an altar call since September. Show me the local church where that's happening. Show me. Is that a prideful statement? Dear God, no. I just thank God, thank God, thank God. We have a church where an altar call is given and people are coming to Jesus. Are we tender toward the things of God? I mean, I've known men that were horses' tails. I mean, they were, but boy, when the wife had enough and left, they're at your door with tears in their eyes saying, preacher, if you can just give me 10, 15 minutes, pray with me. My family's falling apart. You couldn't touch them with a 10-foot pole until their family started falling apart, or until a child went crazy, until a daughter got into some real trouble. Why do we have to wait for tragedy until our hearts are touched? Oh, let's live with a tender heart. Oh, God, we're tender. Help us to be tender toward the things of God. Amen. Okay, I can't say, but hardness of heart. The Bible said because iniquity, there in verse 12, because there's sin everywhere you look. Everybody's doing it? No, everybody's not doing it. I ain't doing it. I hope you're not doing it. Everybody's not doing. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. It gets colder and colder and colder, and less interest. Got a couple more we want to give you, and then we're going to make it. We're going to make it. Choose to endure to the end. In other words, don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Man, I think of people I've worked with and worked with and worked with and called. I don't have the time to chase ambulances like I used to. When the church was smaller and I had more time on my hands, I could do it. That's why I need all of you to help me. When you see somebody not here, check it out. Call them. Go by and see them. Help me. Help me pastor the church. That's what the staff is for, to help cover the back door and help us. You see things that I don't see. I can't chase all the ambulances I used to chase. But we need to choose. I tell you, for me and my house, we've chosen to endure until the end. I'm not going to quit on Jesus. He's never quit on me. I'm not going to quit my wife. She's the best wife I've ever had. She said, I'm the only wife you've ever had. I know it, darling, but... I was getting ready to go to bed last night. She beat me by about an hour like she usually does. She's tired. We'd had a busy day. I looked and I thought, you know, I am so blessed to have a good-looking wife. My. And I slipped up and leaned over and kissed her, and she opened her eyes. And she said, wow! Out of a deep sleep. Wow! And then she giggled. We're going to endure to the end. Amen. That mooching will keep your marriage good if you just... You used to do it all the time. You need to get back to practice. Amen. Endure. We're not enduring. We're enjoying the journey. But the Bible said, hold out. Don't quit. Don't quit. Do we get it? Don't quit. I wish you could see our missionary, the happy family. He was here the other day and he said, Pastor, I've carried your don't quit little sign all over the world. He's been just about everywhere in the world. And he pulled it out and it's got scotch tape on it. I mean, I said, my Lord, man, let me get you some fresh don't quits. He said, no. He said, this one has saved our life. This one was with us when a mob rose up against us over in Asia. This old worn out don't quit that has so much scotch tape on it. He said, this brought in money when we were broke. This kept an airplane in the sky that should have crashed. Don't quit! Woo! Don't quit. Just make up your mind. Don't quit. Endure to the end. Not sour, not bitter, but just don't quit. Praise God. One more I've got to give you, and that is, remember, the bottom line is harvest. I got that from Hilton Sutton, who just went to be with the Lord last year, I believe it was. Hilton Sutton was in his 80s, still preaching. And Hilton Sutton, you know, Joy gave you that big Bible, you know, when we were downtown there. But he said, the bottom line is harvest. And this gospel of the kingdom, Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. Now, it didn't say we were going to win the world, but they're going to preach it for a witness. There will be many that will receive it. There will be those that just heard it, and that was their witness. God is just. There's no language where some revelation... I know this is controversial. There is no language, there is no nation where there's not been some kind of revelation of the true and the living God. We're just fortunate that we've heard it a million times over. No language where he's not heard. And you know, I got to thinking as I was reaching out for this, we're talking about quickened or quit. You know, it's easy to quit nowadays. Now, let me tell you, you guys that are outreaching, I've been through all these seasons. I mean, boy, you start driving that bus, it's the greatest thing since free hotcakes, you know, at IHOP or whatever. And then you get burned, you get weary. I knocked doors, but I got tired. Well, you can imagine 48 and a half years pastoring a church and starting with nothing. We've been through a few situations ourselves. But if you let God quicken you, you won't quit. Let God re-energize you. Folks, this is not our deal, it's His. I remind my own heart, this church is His. Praise God. I got a word of prophecy over the holidays. It said, you are the Lord's. You're in God's place at God's perfect time. Your days are in His hands. He is your future. He has gifted you and placed His hand upon you to bless you and to make you a blessing. The burden of your ministry is not yours to carry. As you rest, God will work. As you abide, He will bring fruit. As you continue to sow as you have in the past, He will give the increase. He is your shield and your exceeding great reward. Lord God, that came on a day when I needed it. Hallelujah. Praise God. But I just thought, let me just, you know, it may not be through Calvary, but we're in the mainstream. Which altar call at Calvary is going to be the last person witnessed to? Which program on Lighthouse Television of Uganda will be the last gospel that ever comes to some witness? And that witness is to the last person and the end comes. Which caller to our 24/7 prayer line? You know, a call to upstairs could be the last call. Which radio broadcast? We've been on the air for 40 years now in the Metroplex. Which radio broadcast? We broadcast twice daily, Monday through Friday. Which broadcast over this 100,000 watt station will be the final witness to somebody? And then the end shall come. Which youth or case kids for Christ? Which children's service? Which youth service? Which junior high service? Which shall be the last witness to somebody? Hey, dream with me. Which Stitches neighborhood rally of singing and preaching the gospel of Christ could be the last witness that someone receives? Two more. Which witness win and bring them in? Which door might you knock that could be the last door of witness? It could be in America. You know, there's heathen in America. They're not all over in Africa. They're not all in Asia. There's people in Fort Worth, Texas that have never heard the plan of salvation. That's right. It could be. One more here. Well, I've already said that. Which altar call at Calvary Cathedral will be the final witness and salvation that brings Jesus back? Folks, we ought to do everything we do. Which somebody walking forward and they have been faithful through years, and one more tithe check that's going to result in souls being saved if there's other time. Just dream with me. What could we say? What could we do? Where could we be? What could be the result of this service? This service this morning could parlay into a final witness and the end of the world. And then the end come. We don't know. Which prayer is going to do it? Which witness is going to do it? Which song is going to do it? Wouldn't that be something? We're singing one of those songs about Jesus and all of a sudden the choir disappears. Well, quickened or quit? Don't quit. Don't quit. Purpose in your heart. I'm not going to quit. Though none go with me, I'm going on. Hallelujah. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to be deceived. I'm not going to let my love grow cold. You know, people think preachers live 24/7 with alarm bells going off and angels ministering to us and little fat chubby angels, you know, just all around us and $100 bills floating down on our head. And listen, there's days you hang on the ropes. There's days you just say, let me make one more day, Jesus. There's Sundays you say, let me make one more Sunday, Jesus. But oh, I'm going to be so glad and you're going to be so glad one of these days when we refuse to quit and we stand before Him and He will say, well done. Well done. Well done. You'll thank God you kept on praying. You'll thank God you kept on witnessing. You'll thank God you kept on singing. You'll thank God you kept on forgiving and showing the grace and the mercy of God. Keep on doing what's right. Just keep doing what God told you last. Let every head be bowed. Hallelujah. Let's praise our God today. My, my. Quickened or quit. Lord, we're not going to quit. I don't know about you, but I'm having church up here on this platform this morning. We're not going to quit. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. I wonder how many have made that decision with me. You made that decision, you're not going to quit. I've watched Big John Hall lug all that luggage and product. This man's gone all over most of the world singing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I know you've had to be weary, brother, but you didn't quit. Thank you for believing in the vision here at Calvary for all these years. You're not only a faithful man, you're a loyal man. Amen. And God's given you some of the happiest years of your life. Hallelujah. I wonder how many just say, Pastor, we're not going to quit. We're going to stand for Jesus. I mean, physically, we're going to stand. By faith, you're going to stand. You're going to stand with me. I'm not going to preach anymore. I just want you to lift your heart to God.